Please open the copy of God's Word to Gospel according to Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34. If you're using Pew Bible, you would find it on page number 840. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 to 34. As I read and as you listen, this is God's infallible, inherent, life-giving word. Give our reverence as I read. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to another side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing him, he fell at his feet, begged him, earnestly saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him, turned around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I'll be made well." And immediately the flow of the blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power has gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease." Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's look to God in prayer as we unpack this text. O merciful Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come before your throne for seeking your mercy and your grace. O Lord, as we spend meditating upon this word, upon your word, oh Lord, would you open our eyes and our hearts to see your truth. And help us, oh Lord, that your truth would penetrate our hearts. That you would cause our hearts to see the idols that has been stagnated in our hearts. That you would cause our hearts to repent and to see the truth from your text. And be with us and be with our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The most familiar hymn we often sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. We see that truly he is a friend of sinners, the two sinners in this text this evening. When they came with their needs, Jesus showed his mercy and compassion upon these two sinners. Well, the gospel according to Mark is one of the characteristics about this gospel is how fast-paced the action is. We see that Jesus has then performed miracles and teaching and preaching, and then feeding the thousands of people and showing himself as he is the Lord of creation. And it is so important to see that chapter 4 ends with the question, who Jesus is. But we also see that Jesus seeks to get alone because he has been ministering day in and day out. And we see the Son of Man has no rest. And he returns back to Capernaum on the other side of the lake. But we see that there is a great crowd just crowded around him. And that's what we get here in chapter 5. The two stories revealing the same truth again. The Mark is trying to bring the attention of his audience and his readers who Jesus is. Well, the very the first question that who Jesus is, even the disciples who are being with Jesus has a trouble in answering that. And we see Jesus is on his mission of teaching and preaching and healing and showing his power and authority over the creation. And we get here in chapter 5, our text this evening. It starts with a man who possessed with demons and he heals. And he wants to get along alone by himself and crossed again another side of the other side of the sea. But we see in verse 21 that the great crowd gathered again about him and trying to listen to him and trying to see what he has to do and show his power. Well, it is for us this evening in our text, we have two accounts. The central truth that I want to establish tonight is Christ Jesus is glorious and is merciful to those who exercise saving faith in him. Christ Jesus is gracious and merciful to those who exercise saving faith in him. We're going to note that in two ways this evening. The object of saving faith is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And the object of saving faith will strengthen our faith. Let's unpack this through our text this evening. The object of saving faith is Christ Jesus our Lord. Taken verse 21 to 28. We see within the crowd, we find two people with a great need. The first, the man named Jairus, according to verse 22. Look with me, verse 22. Then came one of the rulers of synagogue, Jairus by name, seeing him. He fell at his feet. So here the Mark is trying to give the name of this man. His name is Jairus and he's the ruler of the synagogue. He would be someone like an elder in the church who would lead and oversee the church or oversee the worship and reading the law and teaching the Ten Commandments. Or he's a person in a high caste or high position in the society, has a religious authority in the community. And also, he also goes on, 25 verse 25, we also see the second person in our account is the woman. And we also see her name is not being given. And we do not know the woman's name, but we do know that she lives on the wrong side of the track. And she's been described in verse 25. There was a woman who had discharge of blood for 12 years. So this condition brought her a great discomfort and made her weak. And was then that it made her ceremonially unclean. If she touched any person, the person would become an unclean and ceremonially unclean. So you see, her situation was desperate, being excluded from all the religious activities. And she was someone socially outcast. And we see, according to the Old Testament, the Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 to 31, we're not going to read due to the lack of time, but we do see there that she is ceremonially unclean. But text doesn't really give us insights to this woman, but if she was married, she would probably divorced because of her. The disease that she's been going through because of her uncleanliness. And she was someone viewed as an outcast like a leprosy in the New Testament. So these are the three main characters, the Mark trying to draw our attention to: Jairus, the woman, and our Lord. Jairus has a 12-year-old daughter who had loved greatly. Another woman has spent exactly the same amount of time in isolation and suffering in silence. And we see here verse 22 and 23. Jairus by name, seeing him, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly. You see the word, he begged Jesus earnestly. It is the same word again and again. The Mark repeats over and over and again in his gospel. And you see in chapter 5, verse 10 and 12 and 17 and 18, that this demon-possessed man begged him, Jesus. These demons begged, do not cast away, but cast us into the pigs, the herds of pigs. It is the same word. So you see, the Jairus is willing to stake his entire reputation at the feet of Jesus in his ability to help. What he models by his willingness is to come to Jesus for help is nothing short of a saving faith in action. He knew the cost of his reputation and willing to lay everything at the feet of Jesus. Can you identify with Jairus in the times of need and distress? Do you cry out to Christ? Well, dear church, sin and its consequences touches all, regardless of our status, our caste, color, race, tribe, tongue. Sin and its consequences touches all. Jairus believed in Lord Jesus and cast himself unconditionally at the feet of Jesus, counting the cost. Notice how gracious and merciful Christ Jesus to Jairus. Where is your faith this evening? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone to follow Christ? Look at here, verse 24. And he went with him. Do you see the response of our Lord? Jairus asks Jesus to come and lay hands on his dying daughter so that she may be made well. And verse 24 says that we were told Jesus went. A true faith always moves Jesus to grace and mercy. You can call upon him in faith and he will respond. And we were told the very truth in gospel, this in the same gospel in chapter 2. There were four friends bringing the paralytic to Jesus. And what does Jesus say in verse 5 if you look at Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said to paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. A true faith always moves Jesus to grace and mercy. Psalms are filled with that. The Psalms teach us how we too can cry out to the Lord. Have you cried out to the Lord and experienced his grace and mercy when he comes to you? If you call upon the name of the Lord in faith, he will go with you. We see that exactly here in verse 24. Jesus went with him. And notice also that the Lord, our Lord has delayed. 24, continuing, and the great crowd followed him, thirsting about him. And there was a woman who had discharge of the blood for 12 years. And moving on, and he says, in midst of this all, on a mission to heal the Jairus' daughter, all of a sudden there was someone touched from the crowd. And Jesus, all of a sudden, he stops. He is delaying. Well, there is a lesson here to learn. It might be that when we call on the Lord, he would not come immediately, but he would come in his own good time. Look at verse 25 to 28. And there was a woman who had discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians. He spent all that she had. There was no better, but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus came about behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And you see our second character in our text, the woman who is broke and desperate, comes onto the scene here. It is nothing but a saving faith in action again. She heard the reports and believed in Jesus. Believed in her heart that Jesus would make her well. Verse 27 is nothing short of faith comes by hearing. She heard the word and came to Jesus. And look again at verse 29. Immediately the flow of the blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. We were told that she was made well immediately. Note again, when we call on the name of the Lord, he will respond, but he will respond in his own time. Jesus could have ignored this woman. He could have walked straight through because he is on a mission to heal the Jairus' daughter. Well, that is something that even Jairus was thinking about. But we see here, Jesus, even though he's on a mission, he makes a stop at this woman, talking with this woman. Jesus works in accordance with his good purpose and his perfect timing. He allows delays. He allows interruptions. He takes time. He just cannot let this woman go who has touched him. And do you see how compassionate, kind a God in our time in need? Have you had at times in your life when the things are so badly, spiritually, physically for you? Have you felt the needed answer right away, but God delayed? Delaying is also a compassionate to Jairus to build up his weak faith. To show him that Jesus only can do more than that Jairus can even imagine. God strengthens our faith by delaying answers to our prayers. He does it in order that what might becomes an impossible, so that our faith might rise from the ash heap. God performs impossible to bring glory to himself and strengthen our faith in him. He afflicts his people to bring them to himself. Have you experienced this in order that your faith is strengthened? What is saving faith? Do you possess saving faith such as modeled by our characters in our text? Well, the best definition is Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 14, first paragraph. The grace of faith whereby the elect are enabled to believe to the saving of their souls is a work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts, ordinarily by the ministry of the word, by which also by the administration of the sacraments and prayer, it is increased and strengthened. Do you possess saving faith? This leads to the second thing that I want you to draw your attention. The object of saving faith will strengthen our faith. We see that in verse 29 to 34. And we see here the text is very clear. The mark is just rattles around with this thought of verse 26 that she suffered much under many physicians. In fact, she spends all the money she had. But what is being said here, she spends all her money, but everything that she has spent, everything that she has done, it has just made her more worse. All the types of different experiments and ceremonies that she has done has nothing brought her hope and cure in her disease. Well, Talmud, an extensive commentary on Jewish law, proposes 12 different cures for this specific illness. I'll listen to a couple of them. I'm not going to read all the 12 of them, but definitely a couple of them that brings what exactly she's been went through it. It recommends Talmud. Is nothing but it is an extensive commentary on the Jewish law. And this is what it recommends. Taking a gum of Alexandria, not chewing gum, that you might think, but a resin and browsing it together with our man of a powder, which is mixed with into the wine for a woman to drink, that would bring healing. If that doesn't work, she will be taken into the 3 pieces of Persian onions, boil them in wine, and then if she drinks it, and she will be heard the words, arise from your flow of the blood. Even if that doesn't work, even that doesn't bring any result, she would be carried out with the hash of ostrich egg in a certain cloth or a burial corn from a dripping of a white donkey. If that doesn't make her heal, she would be taken into the two ways where the two to a place where the two ways are met, and she will hold a cup of a wine in her right hand, and somebody need to come behind her and saying that now the flow of your blood is healed, you can go home. Well, we see that here, verse 26, according to verse 26, she might have tried all of them. This is a chronic bleeding, and there is so-called prescription for healing or malaring. It is not shocking that all failed. Much money was spent, yet it all still failed, and she was broke, and the only worse has grown. I bet the best doctors of the first century might have attended her, and still the death was in there, and yet there is no hope remained. But we see here, verse 27, she heard about Jesus, but there was no evidence that she have heard or seen him preach, but for sure the word came to her about Jesus' words and his works. And she believed, so she preached to herself. And literally, verse 28, it is literally she was saying and telling herself over and over, even if I touch the garments, I will be made well. So it is nothing but beating herself back, the fear of defiling others and being exposed. She get on to him and she pressed through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. And she thought that no one could pay attention to her. But she was certain that this touch would bring her healing. Now what motive such a thought? It is the awareness of her sin and a great need that causes us to look to Jesus in faith. Jairus and the woman needed to be saved. They needed a supernatural power to be delivered. Oh, dear church, you and me, we are living in the same, exactly true for every day. We come to Jesus, we're realizing that you're sinfully corrupted. You realize that you're sick of a soul. You realize that you're wicked-hearted. You realize that you're guilty in your heart. There is nothing that you can do about your guilty in the presence of Holy God, apart from confessing before God. You must look to Jesus and realize your need. The woman recognized her need and came to Jesus in faith. What matters is not the strength of your faith, but the power of him whom you believe. A weak faith always receives a strong Christ. Oh, my faith is imperfect, and I'm sure yours is too. But it lays hold of a strong, perfect Savior. As we look at our story, we see it is a timid and a little, but it was a real faith. She tears the hem of his garment and she was healed. Jesus immediately knew the power had gone out, and he turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" Well, there was a massive crowd here pressing in, and the drama of journey and viewing of this sick girl. Jesus asked this question, "Who touched my garment?" How do we know for certain that Jesus knew? Well, the text is so clear. He turned around in the crowd. Why? Because he knew that she came from behind him. And he knew where to look. He also knew what had been touched to his garment. Well, if you look at verse 32, he looked around to see who done it. If you see that, the word, verse 32, who had done it, it is a Greek, in a Greek, it is a feminine word. So he looked around to see the woman who had done it. Jesus knew this particular woman. How did Jesus know the working of the Spirit? The Savior knew the impulse of her faith. Though she sought to be unnoticeable by Jesus and the crowd, but remember, many were touching. It was a massive crowd. Many were touching. But Jesus just turned around to this particular woman. Notice here, knowing is not enough. The woman needed to be drawn out to confess Jesus before the man. He knew that her faith made her to be confessed. You know that your faith is not complete without confession, do you? We see in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10. Hear these words, verse 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that the God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, the one believes is justified. With the mouth, one confesses is saved. The mercies of God demands a public praise. The mercies of God demands a public praise. The psalmist puts it so well in Psalm 116, verse 12 and following. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation, calling upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in presence of all of his people. The woman believed in her heart, trembling and fearing. But our mouth has not been yet confessed that the Jesus was Lord. Woman believed in her heart, but our mouth has not yet confessed. Both of these things are vitally important. And we see that woman who came in fear and trembling were embarrassed to confront. And we also see the same account being recorded in Gospel according to Luke. And he says, seeing that she had to escape. But she could not escape from there. Verse 33. Look with me, verse 33 in our text. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. And she was overcome with an emotion. She was scared. And remember, the encounter with the divine always produces a fear. A disciple feared at the storm that has been happening just in the text before us. Chapter 4, Gospel of Mark. The people in in Gentile region feared when they saw Jesus' power. Well, she knew what he had done. And she knew how amazing this was. She came in fearing and trembling. You remember Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with the fear. Rejoice with the trembling. Well, she came in friend with the fear and trembling, falling before him and telling the whole truth. Because she knew what had happened to her. The very power that had made her well was the power of living God. She trembled before the greatness of the one who made her well. The fact that she is calling out reveals even the intimate knowledge of her. It was overwhelming. The God-man is calling her forward. It is tremendous that he is drawing her out so that she could tell him the whole truth. She proclaimed her trust in him, what had happened, and she was clean and she was whole. There was edge that Jesus had set her free. And she has a more than a miracle faith, she has a saving faith. There was a glorious of his salvation. Not only does Jesus remove our filthy, but his purity and his righteousness are imputed through the faith and through his greatness. And you remember the Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 verse 11, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And notice what Jesus says to her. He did not say, daughter, your touch has made you well. Neither did he say, daughter, my garment has made you well. No, daughter, your faith has made you well. What did he mean? There was no essential power in our faith. Our faith was not an effective cause of our healing, but Jesus was. But our faith was an instrument cause of our healing. Just as in our justification, God does not declare us righteous because there is an inherent righteousness in our faith. Promoting God to say, because you have faith and I'll save you. No, faith is an instrumental cause of our justification because it is a tool or instrument by which we take hold of Christ. Christ is effective cause of our justification. In the same way, it was Jesus who healed the woman. And what does he say? Verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. He's saying, go in peace. He's sending her out with the peace with God's shalom that we have seen this morning in our text through our preaching. It is the same peace. In fact, it is a harmonic benediction of Numbers chapter 6. We hear every Sunday morning and evening, let the countenance shine upon you and give you God's peace. That's short of a peace, the wholeness, completeliness. The truth that has been bestowed upon this woman, not any short of superstitious. It was our faith in Jesus. It was a faith in Jesus, the agony of 12 years of suffering, everything just went in a moment. It is over. It is over. Now she could go with God's peace. She has entered into a new life of a wholeness, both physically and spiritually. Isn't that great news as a believer that our God cares both physically, spiritually, for his children? Now she was to go into joyfully praising God for all that he had done for her. I bet that would be the day that she has great discovered nothing but Jesus alone. None but Christ alone can satisfy. It was the greatest discoverment of her life. She came for healing, but she found grace. She called to rejoice openly in God's grace. Well, the verb tense there being used in verse 34, it is, you are healed permanently. Go in peace. What is this miracle showing us? It shows the personal work of Jesus Christ, and it opens a window of the day that will come when he returns. Because there is a day to come when there will be no death, and there will be no sorrow, and there will be no heartbrokenness for those who did not fear but believed. And listen to what does the Revelation chapter 21 says. There will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tears from their eyes. The death shall have been no more. Neither shall be no mourning and crying or pain anymore for formal things that have been passed away. This is all because of Jesus the Savior, who calls us to trust in him now. He grants forgiveness of sins through his atoning blood. He grants eternal life through his resurrection victory. He grants well done, good and faithful servant at the final judgment. Oh, dear church, apart from him, we deserve eternal condemnation into the hell. He grants an inheritance into the glory to come. When the day comes, he will say the words to us, not like unlikely the words to the suffering woman. He will look upon us with the same compassion. He will say, your faith has made you well. But what does he has to say for us now? He has not yet returned. We are still in the world of difficulty. We are in the same world of unfallen. Well, it is the same words. Do not fear, only believe. Continue to trust in the Lord Jesus. How do we apply this text? Jesus' wonderful works makes him worthy object of faith. Despite of our circumstances, or often those moments when we decide to put our faith in him, we must turn to God in Christ in all times, both suffering and happiness, both sorrow and pain, because he is a perfect object of faith. He is a worthy object of faith. Second one, our unclean condition or sinful condition before God should not be the reason. It should not be a barrier for appealing to Christ in Jesus for mercy. We must appeal to Christ for mercy no matter how unworthy we might seem. We must need to seek his mercy despite of our uncleanliness, sinful condition. The third and final application. God in Christ does all things well in his time, both for our good and for his glory. While our circumstances may at times be severe, or our faith may be tested by God's seeming delays, we must not wish God his timing, but instead trust in his wisdom. We must trust Christ to have power over every disease and death. And here Psalmist says, Psalm 50 and 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Let's look to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, O God, we are amazed what you have done. What you have did for this woman. How it testifies to us of your willingness to heal us. O Lord, we do come before you believing upon your name. And we pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen our weak faith. You would cause us to anticipate in all that has to come that you have purchased for us. Continue to build up our faith, O Lord, and strengthen us in our times of weakness, in times of our affliction, that we may continue to trust in you, even in our difficult times. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name.